Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day to look at what the struggle for the presidential nomination in 2024 really means in terms of defining or redefining the Republican Party. Is it going to be a party whose patron saint is Donald J. Trump, or whose patron saint is Ronald Reagan? A party of smaller government or a party of big activist government, particularly on issues like trade and immigration, that favor, at least theoretically, working people in this country? These are among the provocative questions that are asked in the Wall Street Journal in a very important piece by Gerald Seib, who recently retired, which is a loss to all of us who used to read him and have him on the show quite regularly. He retired last year as the Journal's executive Washington editor and weekly columnist for the Capital Journal. His piece, "Can the GOP Become a Real Working Class Party?" Jerry, it's great to speak to you again, and congratulations on the piece.
No, thanks, and it's happy for me to be back with you. I appreciate the chance.
Great. Okay, in terms of the difference between where the GOP may be going and where it has been, there are lots of people who would argue there's, on most issues, there's not so much of a difference. One of the things that has attracted working class support for the Republicans very clearly over recent elections has been not so much the position on economic issues as position on cultural issues, because there's a big overlap between religious communities, between people who are cultural conservatives and people who would identify themselves as middle-class, working-class voters. What do you say to that argument that there's no real change in direction involved with the party?
Well, I think the reality right now is that there have been, over the last several decades, a lot of working class Americans who've kind of drifted into the Republican Party, but have done so mostly for cultural reasons, as you suggest, that they're not happy with the Democrats moving left on issues like abortion, on guns, on gay rights. And there was a kind of a resonance, a vibe in the Democratic Party that made them uncomfortable, so they moved toward the Republicans. And I think the Republicans have become, in a way, a party that is conservative on cultural issues like those, but some would argue, some within the Republican Party would argue, has really been more libertarian on economic issues, tax cuts, free markets, stay out of the marketplace, let a growing economy benefit everybody. And so the question now is whether the party, having embraced a lot of working class Americans for cultural reasons, now has to rethink its economic philosophies to accommodate the people who are now, some could argue, the real base of the Republican Party. And, of course, Donald Trump accelerated this trend. I mean, his message about particularly the way that immigration and free trade were harming working-class Americans was very resonant with some of these people. And so I don't think Donald Trump had a real governing philosophy that was very coherent, but it certainly struck chords. And the debate that's now underway in the party, particularly now that Republicans have control of the House, though barely, is whether they're now in a position to start adjusting their economic policies to accommodate the working class voters who are already there. And that implies a lot more government activism on behalf of working class Americans.
Okay, when you talk about this vision of what the Republican Party is going to be, the Republican Party is about to be caught in the dilemma set up by the debt ceiling debate. And, of course, what the Democrats are doing is charging that the Republican insistence on cutting spending will undoubtedly end up damaging, they claim, Social Security and Medicare and other programs that are very popular generally, but particularly popular among the working class of Americans. And where's the party going to go on this issue? In other words, how does this end up being a debate or a posture that can do anything but damage the party with this working class base that they're trying to cultivate?
Well, it's interesting that this issue has come up right away in 2023, because it is the issue that probably frames the dilemma for Republicans here more than any other. Are they a party that is in favor of cutting down government programs, including entitlement programs, and staying within a budget, ending deficit spending, and doing the tough things that are necessary to do that? Or are they a party that, because they're now considering themselves increasingly the working class party, that's going to protect entitlement programs and protect spending and don't worry about the consequences of that? I mean, certainly in the Trump administration, you had no concern whatsoever about budget deficits and a flat-out pledge from the then president that the Republicans wouldn't touch Medicare and Social Security. Now, several $1 trillion of debt later, Republicans are having to confront this question, and it kind of forces them to decide what their party really stands for, and is it really about fiscal discipline and fiscal order, even if that's painful and even if it means angering some people in their own ranks, or are they the party that's simply going to stand up for government programs that benefit the working class because those are the people who are showing up to vote Republican? It's not the only place where this tension within the Republican Party between the old economic philosophy and a potential new working class economic philosophy comes to the surface. I mean, same thing is true on trade. The Republicans have long been the party that really was in favor of free trade, but a lot of new, younger, more populist Republicans argue for a system of tariffs to protect American goods and jobs. There has always been this belief that the government should stay out of the marketplace and not interfere with big business. That was the Republican gospel for all these years. Now there's an increasing tendency to go after big business for policies that they think are harmful, including breaking up big tech companies, and including, most recently, some Republicans voting in Congress to force the big railway companies to give workers more vacation days in a new labor contract. I mean, these are government interferences in the marketplace and in the business world that would have been unthinkable for Republicans 20, 30 years ago.
20 or 30 years ago, there was also not this big national focus on inflation, which people always list in most polling as either the number one or the number two issue in the country. When you talk about a system of tariffs and trade regulation, isn't that almost definitionally inflationary?
Well, that's certainly true. I mean, classic economics will tell you that you know, market forces drive down prices, not government policies. But I think the argument in among these new, more populist, more working class, if you will, Republicans has been that's true in theory, but it doesn't really work that way in practice because our trading partners, and by that they mean mostly China, aren't engaged in free market economics. They've distorted the free market, and we have to now acknowledge that and act accordingly and not get caught up on kind of philosophical or theological points of market purity, because there's no pure market. So that's a debate. I mean, I talked in doing this piece with Senator Pat Toomey, who's just retired from the Senate, who was a classic free market, emphasized economic growth kind of economic conservative, who says the populist argument here is nonsense, that free market economic policies create economic growth. We've seen that since Ronald Reagan came in, you know, 50 years ago almost, and instituted them, and that economic growth has benefited everybody.
We will be right back with Gerald Seib. He's also the author of the best-selling book, We Should Have Seen It Coming, From Reagan to Trump, A Front Row Seat to a Political Revolution. Right back on the future of the GOP.
The Michael Medved Show.
Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listeners Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code MEDVED or 1-800-320-6280.
We've all heard the saying, safety in numbers. Well, think again. The IRS, the country's powerful tax collection agency, is on a hiring spree. They're bringing in 87,000 new agents. Now, no taxpayer at any income level is entirely safe from IRS scrutiny or, worse, a dreaded IRS audit. This is Michael Medved for AmFed Coin and Bullion. How safe are your accumulated savings and wealth from government examination and reach? Owning gold and silver is one of the best ways to keep your wealth in your own hands. Precious metals provide a layer of privacy that's not available through a bank account. When you own precious metals, only you and your dealer have knowledge of your purchase. Now, I buy all of my precious metals from my friend Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. Nick's been in this industry for 41 years, and he has established a reputation built on trust, transparency, integrity, and fair pricing. Call Nick and his team, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
I spend a lot of time in the garage. But even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Medved Show with Gerald Seib. He has served most recently as a fellow at the Robert J. Dole Institute of Politics at the University of Kansas, a think tank obviously associated with that great university, and was until last year the Wall Street Journal's executive Washington editor. Okay, I've got to ask you a sensitive question here, Jerry. Have they found any classified documents at the Robert J. Dole Institute of Politics?
I, I don't know, but there's a pretty substantial archive there, so I suppose it's possible. But, you know, I will just say this has nothing to do with the Dole Institute, but this is a generic comment. After having covered government for more than four decades, I think people would be shocked at how much material is classified, how much overclassification there is. I mean, there is so much material that's classified that shouldn't be classified that it's, in some way it's not surprising that there's quote-unquote classified material floating around because it's so voluminous within government. And so I think, you know, I remember clearly when a colleague once sent in a Freedom of Information Act request for some documents from the Pentagon, and some of the material that came back was marked classified, and one of the pages that was marked classified that had been declassified was a Wall Street Journal story. So they classified a Wall Street Journal story. It's just, I think people probably ought to be a little less shocked than many people are right now about this scandal.
Yeah, what's interesting to me about this is that with all of the charges and the potential indictments and actual indictments and lawsuits surrounding former President Trump, that people expect that the one that is going to get him is that he took a bunch of papers to Mar-a-Lago. I've never understood that this is the point of greatest vulnerability for President Trump. And now you have President Biden and Vice President Pence and everybody else joining the crowd. So is not going to be a major
factor. Well, I don't think that's the point of greatest vulnerability. I would certainly agree with you. That's not right, and it's not logical.
Right. Okay. When you talk about right and logical, and your very provocative piece, which is linked at our website, Can the GOP Become a Real Working Class Party? The question is, why would the GOP want to? Because according to most demographers, the big advancing groups, growing groups in the United States are college-educated, people who are suburban in outlook, and don't particularly identify as working class. Isn't there a shift in our population in that direction of more suburban-oriented, more middle-class-oriented people than working class?
There is, and I think that's the reason some people wonder about whether this is the path the Republican Party ought to go down. I think the Democrats, though, have a similar problem. They have a party that has become increasingly focused on the two coasts. It has become increasingly dominated by people who do have college educations and who are higher income, and that is increasingly diverse, both demographically, socially, and in terms of people's lifestyles. And they have kind of lost their connection with the working class that had been the backbone of the party for a long time. And so, in a way, you look at two parties that don't really have logical majorities anymore. Republicans are trying to put together a not entirely comfortable coalition between traditional conservatives and internationalists and business people and the working class and Democrats who would like to put together the kind of the new Democratic Party, which is kind of more upscale and more higher educated and more socially liberal, with the traditional working class voters. And neither of those is an entirely comfortable fit. That's why this is, I think, such a fascinating period, and why which direction working class voters move is so consequential, because I think they hang in the balance here, and then and the two parties hang in the balance with them.
Well, one of the fascinating moments in this whole transformation of the two parties is that one of the very clear positions that both Republicans and Democrats took was, yes, Democrats were in favor of bigger government, but not socialism. And today, the Republicans in the House forced a vote, which they won overwhelmingly, condemning socialism. But there were 100 Democratic members of the House who voted against that resolution, 14 who voted present, 86 who voted no on a resolution condemning socialism. Doesn't that show an ideological divide of real substance at the very heart of the Democratic Party?
Well, maybe, although that vote, in my opinion at least, was a kind of a gimmick. And I think you could make the argument that it shows that the new Republican majority in the House is actually not focusing on the agenda to help working class Americans that they ought to be. I mean, why hold a vote like that instead of having a conversation about how to deal with the economic needs of working class Americans, about how to onshore jobs that have been sent overseas over the last 20, 30, or 40 years, about how to create incentives for job creation in the country. I get it, and Republicans want to say the Democrats are socialists, and I don't know why you would vote against that resolution if you're a Democrat, except that you're peeved that the Republicans are basically engaging in name-calling and gimmickry. But I think that there's a fair number of Republicans who wish the party would get down to the business of actually executing a working-class economic agenda rather than just talking about it.
Would that economic agenda benefiting the working class need to include avoiding default and actually working to raise the debt ceiling? Because working class could be devastated by the economic consequences if we really do default and go into some kind of government shutdown, couldn't it?
Well, I agree with that. I certainly think that's true. I think one of the things that working class Americans and other Americans would be might be shocked to discover is how rapidly their 401ks take a hit if there's the kind of a financial crisis that default on the debt would entail. So that's problem number one for Republicans. Problem number two for Republicans is one we talked about a little earlier, which is that if they're going to demand spending cuts as the price for raising the debt ceiling, and I'm not necessarily opposed to that, they're going to have to say what spending they want to cut. And pretty soon you get to programs that actually benefit middle-class Americans. And at the same time, some Republicans are talking about spending billions of dollars to do things that are designed to help working-class Americans, you know, provide incentives to bring jobs back home, do the same thing for other industries that has been done for the microchip industry. In other words, provide government incentives and government help for creating factories in the U.S. And my point is Republicans want to spend money on some programs and defend entitlements at the same time they want to cut money and reduce the deficit. And the tension there is going to be a kind of an ever-present part of the new House Republican majority.
And to understand that tension, no better start than reading this terrific piece, Can the GOP Become a Real Working Class Party? Have a wonderful weekend and a great new year, Gerald Tsai. We'll be right back.
The Michael Medved Show.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is postponing his trip to China. This comes after a high-altitude Chinese spy balloon was discovered flying over the U.S. earlier this week and is now being tracked by the U.S. military.
I told Director Wong that the United States remains committed to diplomatic engagement with China.
While the U.S. has described it as a surveillance balloon, China said it was a weather research balloon that had blown off course. President Biden, meanwhile, is highlighting new water infrastructure upgrades upgrades and lead pipe replacements in Philadelphia.
Every American deserves to be able to turn on their water tap or faucet and be able to drink clean water.
Two people are under arrest for the execution-style murders of six individuals in Central California. One of the men went peacefully. The other engaged in a gun battle with ATF agents. He was struck, but is expected to survive. Dave Collins, USA News.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutrifies the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Turn up your radio.
The Michael Medved Show.
Turn it up, turn it up, a little bit higher. Radio, turn it up, turn it up, so you know, radio.
And on the Michael Medved Show, there is a great deal of talk, believe it or not, among progressives, self-described progressives, about the stupidity of the excesses of what people have called wokeism, the idea of going over and basically putting your party out of the American mainstream, the Democrats, with some of their insistence on language. You see this with the stupidity of suggesting that when they talk about issues of pregnancy and childbirth, that they're not going to limit it to women, that you have to say people, pregnant people, and you can't say pregnant women. Well, that kind of thing is too much, even for a very progressive thinker. And by the way, at one point, a potential candidate for governor of Oregon, Nick Kristof at the New York Times, he went on to CNN and spoke about how inclusive language, so-called, had gone way overboard. This is clip six.
I come at this from the opposite perspective of Governor Sanders. I think that we should be inclusive. I think we should be prepared to think about our language and use it in a way that, you know, that obviously doesn't dehumanize anybody. But I do think that we've gone overboard. You raised the term Latinx. Okay. 3% of Latinos use the term Latinx. Representative Richie Torres, himself Afro-Latino, told me that maybe this says more about the agenda-setting power of affluent white leftists than it does about the interests of working-class Latinos. And, you know, I'm speaking to you right now from rural Oregon. I think that there are a lot of Americans who, instead of feeling included, feel that the gap between well-educated liberals, often urban liberals, who are crafting these new terms, is excluding them. And they don't know where to tread, and they resent it. And I think that makes them more likely to vote against their economic interest and to support somebody like Governor DeSantis. So I, coming at this from a liberal, I think that our efforts to be inclusive have actually been counterproductive.
And look, that's a very, very important concession and a very substantive one. And bravo for Nick Kristof and recognizing that. And by the way, he mentioned at the beginning of that clip, Governor Sanders, who's going to be delivering the response to the State of the Union for the Republican Party. She's the newly elected governor and the youngest governor, newly elected governor anywhere in the country right now. She is governor of Arkansas, a daughter of former governor of Arkansas, Mike Huckabee. And she has made a very big point of striking the word Latinx, which was supposed to degenderify the idea of Latino or Latina, which actually follow the Spanish language. And so she issued an executive order, and she is within her power to do that, that official state documents would not have any further use of the term Latinx. And Van Jones, who, again, very progressive, but thoughtful commentator, and he on CNN also talked about the how inclusive language, so-called, has become a parody of itself. Listen, clip five.
Are some on the left undercutting their own messaging by going what they believe to be too far?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, now for Scott. Next one.
Now, yes. I mean, obviously so. I think Scott and I are going to be in violent agreement tonight. Look, I understand that there are people who are concerned about the status quo, the way certain groups are left out and mistreated, and they're worried that some of the ways we talk might be, the old language might be codifying the old attitudes, and so they want new language to signify new attitudes. But it's gone so far that it's a joke, it's a parody of itself all too often. And so even people like myself who are passionately committed to these causes, you find yourself, you're afraid to even talk on a Zoom call because you might say the wrong word and then spend 15 minutes being lectured about how, you know, something that nobody had even heard of 6 months ago is now required speech in polite company. And it's a distraction from getting anything actually done.
Okay, again, when you have two thoughtful people on the left who are acknowledging the extremism of some of this talk about inclusive language. By the way, President Biden, just yesterday, heralded a tremendous victory for his administration. And it's striking because of his elegant use of the language. It's a great victory for the cause of inclusivity and diversity by the Biden administration and the people the president has appointed to high office. This is clip four. Listen.
More than half the women in my cabinet, more than half the people in my cabinet, more than half the women in my administration are women.
Just think about that. Let's hear it again, because it's such a proud declaration for the president. No wonder he's so proud and thrilled to make the announcement.
More than half the women in my cabinet, more than half the people in my cabinet, more than half the women in my administration are women.
I am woman, hear me roll, in numbers too big to ignore.
The fact that more than half of the women in the Biden administration are actually women, is that opposed to the people, and we could name some of them, who actually aren't women, but are still women in his administration, but... In any event, concerning the current violation of U.S. sovereignty that is going on, one of the people from the Trump administration who I think came out of the Trump administration as an honorable and committed and patriotic public servant was the former Defense Secretary Mark Esper. He was on TV this morning talking about the Chinese spy balloon, and he had this to say, 2A.
First of all, I'm surprised by this. I think it is a brazen act by the Chinese to do this. We were just talking about whether or not it has more or less intelligence value than what they currently have. I don't think we know. And so my interest would be not necessarily shooting it down, but bringing it down so that we can capture the equipment and understand exactly what they're doing. Are they taking pictures? Are they intercepting signals? What are they doing, and what is the level of technical capability? It will tell us a lot about what they're trying to do, what they're trying to learn, and what their capability is of doing that. Now, failing that, I would definitely shoot it down, provided that there's no risk to people on the ground.
Okay, and then he states something that people need as context for understanding this mysterious...
Yeah, so you are surprised that this is just hovering over the continental U.S.?
Absolutely, not just the continental United States, but over our, you know, our missile fields and our strategic bomber bases. And so that's of great concern to me, that they are collecting intelligence. And look, they obviously are looking for something. They need information that I would assume they can't get through satellites. And so that's why I would be very interested in getting hold of this, whatever the payload is, and understanding exactly what they're looking for and why. And then, of course, it gives us a good sense of their level of technological capability. The Chinese have been spying on us for years, for decades. We know the FBI tells us that, what, every 12 hours they open up an espionage case. To me, this is a brazen act. And so at the political level, we have to push back. We have to defend American sovereignty, and we have to make clear to the Chinese that we're not going to tolerate this.
Okay, this is one of the most succinct and, it seems to me, effective statements that has been made about this episode so far. Speaking of the episode so far, the latest film has been drawing a lot of controversy from M. Night Shyamalan, the controversial creator of The Sixth Sense. We'll review it coming up on The MedVet Show. Okay, it's winter time, and that shouldn't stop you from going outdoors and enjoying yourself and getting some exercise. Relief Factor can help with that cause. Relief Factor is natural. It consists of fish oil and turmeric primarily, and other ingredients that have been tested and shown to be remarkably effective. A Relief Factor can make you feel better and give you an opportunity to enjoy all kinds of aspects of an active life that you may have been prevented from enjoying in the past. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner. There's a special price available for what is called a quick start with Relief Factor. You take these tablets, which are entirely natural, no chemicals, no preservatives of any kind. This is a wonderful product that we heartily endorse. Go to michaelmedved.com, look for the banner for Relief Factor. Some of America's most important principles, like freedom of conscience, speech, rule of law, sanctity and dignity of human life, the family, and economic freedom, are under contemporary assault. It's more important than ever to teach our nation's traditional values and timeless principles. Now, these sometimes forgotten values must be remembered and communicated, and the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College exists to accomplish just that. The Institute promotes these principles to the next generation of leaders on campus and across the country. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com, and you'll find online courses on Ronald Reagan and James Madison, and above all, a vigorous defense of Western civilization and its highest values. Advocating for these timeless principles is why Grove City College continues to be a beacon in higher education. Go to faithandfreedom.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
I can hope for the weekend is that when Monday comes around, we'll be able to talk a little bit less about the imminent war with China. Let's hope that isn't imminent. And the spy balloon. And again, this is one of those things, I think back to the beginning of this week. This is the end of the week, last segment of the week. And on Monday, would I have taken odds against believing that the entire country would be paralyzed by a gigantic spy balloon from China? Yeah, I would have thought that would be unlikely. But I also think it's unlikely that a movie that I really, really disliked won 3 major Oscar nominations, including Best Picture and Best Director. We will get to that with the latest from Hollywood. The biggest brand new movie this week is the latest from M. Night Shyamalan, who's made movies that everybody has loved in the past. Signs with Mel Gibson was a brilliant movie. I thought The Village was an ingenious movie and one with a terrific twist to it. M. Night Shyamalan writes his own movies. He has had some great successes. Of course, best known for The Sixth Sense still, which was artistically and in entertainment terms just a brilliant piece of work. His new movie is called Knock at the Cabin, and it's an adaptation of a novel by an author named Tremblay, and basically a situation where there are two gay fathers who are sharing the raising of their adorable adoptive young daughter, and they're out on a vacation, a lakeside vacation in the woods somewhere in Pennsylvania. Of course, you know it's going to be Pennsylvania because M. Night Shyamalan is always tries to set his movies in Philadelphia, which has been his home. In any event, their idyllic vacation is interrupted by 4 very strange people led by the hulking and very formidable Dave Bautista, who's actually very good in the movie, comes knocking at the door and basically says that the end of the world is coming up and that in order to forego the end of the world and to block the apocalypse, the people in that cabin have to decide which of them is going to be killed sacrificed. Yeah, it's a human sacrifice movie. Listen.
We're not here to hurt you, but you have to stay here in the cabin with us. Your family must choose to willingly sacrifice one of the three of you to prevent the apocalypse.
We're not sacrificing anyone.
For every no you give us, hundreds of thousands of people are going to die.
That's really happening.
Will you make a choice?
We will never choose anyone.
Okay, again, the premise of the movie, well, you can judge for yourself. I would judge the premise that the novel, when you read about things like that, okay, you can kind of buy it. It's ridiculous, and it doesn't work. And the film is extremely frustrating because it's gory. There are numerous scenes of killing and suicide. And basically a great deal of suffering with no real point to it. You might say that part of what this cautions against is religious extremism, but really the idea that people see visions and then they are actually going to save the world by practicing human sacrifice. Shyamalan wrote the screenplay, co-wrote it, and he changed the ending of the book, and won't tell you what that change involves. But the film's very frustrating because it's obviously so many talented people, including a very talented young star who plays the daughter, whose name is Cooey. And, again, lots of credit. Rupert Grint is in it, who was Ron Weasley from Harry Potter. It's Kristen Cooey, who plays Wen, the little girl. But with all of that, it's very much R-rated with extreme brutality and scenes of death and mass destruction. At 1.5 stars for, the Knock at the Cabin. And if you feel a knock, this particular knock, don't answer the door. The other movie that I wanted to talk about a little bit is a big Oscar contender. Triangle of Sadness was nominated for Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Screenplay. That makes it sound very formidable. It's all about the decadence of the super rich and a group of super rich people, including an influencer, a top model, and her boyfriend, are going on a luxury cruise, but that is interrupted by some food poisoning, a storm, and a shipwreck. And no, the results are hardly Gilligan's Island. Listen.
The success of a luxury cruise mainly depends on you. I don't want to hear anybody saying no. It's always, yes, sir, yes, ma'am.
A Russian capitalist and an American communist.
About a $250 million luxury yacht.
The ship is going under.
This is really bad. This is really, really bad.
I thought it was really bad. I mean, really, really bad. There is a scene in the very center of the film that goes on and on and on of mass vomiting. And also feces coming up from toilets backed up and people walking through feces. And and now if that sounds like fun to you, and I understand it's supposed to be a film that's critical of the indulgent rich and how much they ignore the people who are waiting on them, whose only job is as semi-slaves. And the performances are universally fine, by the way. But the film itself features a wonderful star playing the model who's a part of the couple at the center of the film. Her name was Charlotte B. Dean, and she unfortunately died right after this film came out, which means that her Oscar attention is going to be nil. But she died of sepsis, which is really a very sad thing. It is one of those films that, again, you can admire parts of it, and it's artfully done, but it goes on forever and is extremely frustrating to watch. 2 stars for Triangle of Sadness, which could be the most seriously overrated film of the year. And it's very much rated R for violence and sex references. And very difficult, by the way, knowing that the leading lady in the film has passed away at age 32. That's gives it an even less enjoyable idea for something that's supposed to be, it's marketed as a dark comedy. Don't go into this dark. Okay, coming up on Monday, we're going to talk about a new Gallup poll, which has a very interesting and intriguing result that seems to be contradictory. Most people in America say they are generally content with the quality of life here, but they are not at all content or satisfied with the nation's morals. What does that contradiction mean, and what does it mean for politics in this country? And speaking of politics, the conservative movement has basically reached a turning point, says Matthew Continetti. He's written about the history of the conservative movement in this country since Reagan. And right now, there's a question about, will the Republicans, for instance, become a populist party or continue to be a traditional pro-business conservative party? There is a new proposal in Florida to allow concealed carry guns without a permit. Popular? Maybe for many voters in Florida. Is it a great idea? And there is a story about the San Francisco Police Department, which took 15 hours to respond to a bar burglary. Still no resolution, by the way. We'll cover all of that and the very latest about the spy balloon, or balloons, plural, over this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Hi, Fred Dwyer here. If you suffer from a serious chronic illness, heartburn, poor sleep, fatigue, brain fog, you need Balance 7. Balance 7 water improves the acid-alkaline balance in the body. The right pH helps unlock the immune system. It also allows for better hydration and nourishment during times of medication and stress. Balance 7 works. I know. I use it every day. Now you can try it free. Balance 7 is offering chronic illness sufferers a free gallon of Balance 7 water for the first 100 callers. That's an $87 value free. So call 800-793-9039 and mention my name, Fred. The first 100 callers suffering with a chronic illness get a free gallon of Balance 7 water. So call 800-793-9039, code word Fred, or visit balance7.com. That's balance, the number 7.com. 800-793-9039, code word Fred.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.